All right. Well, as we continue our study on favorite Bible chapters, let's pray and then we'll go to Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for this story. I pray, Father, we would learn our lesson well. I pray, Father, would minister to our hearts. And I pray that you would just bless us for our study this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. It seems to be a favorite passage. And we're not going to look at the whole chapter this morning, but we are going to look at the first 10 verses. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is what is a sinner." Isn't that what it says? He was a sinner. And as a sinner, he needed the what? Savior. Now, does that make him any different than the rest of us? No, we're all sinners, are we not? "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, perhaps the story of Zacchaeus here in Luke chapter 19 should maybe start in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. And notice what those verses say. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 29. Now here we read this. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." Now who is that also known as? He's also known as Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. "And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of" what? "Publicans and of others that sat down" what? "With them." Now, here we read that Matthew was a tax collector, and he's a tax collector in the city of Capernaum. Well, Jesus had passed by. He talks to Matthew, says, "Follow me." And you know what? Matthew got up, left his job behind. He followed Christ. But upon his conversion, he has a great feast, and he invited all the other publicans. Now, who else was a publican? Zacchaeus. And maybe Zacchaeus came to that feast, and when Matthew brought him to that feast, no doubt he told him what happened to him, what Jesus did for him. And maybe that made such an impression upon Zacchaeus that when he heard about Jesus coming to Jericho, maybe, just maybe, Zacchaeus said, "Man, I got to see that Jesus once again." But here's the thing. When Matthew got saved, he brought his old crowd around so he could what? Witness to them. I wonder, did we do that? You know, when you read the Gospels, you see the maniac ignored that. Matter of fact, he wanted to follow Jesus. What did he say? Go home! You tell your friends, you tell your friends what the Lord had done for you. And guess what he did? Remember the Samaritan woman got saved at the well? What did she do? She went back to her village and she told everybody what Jesus had done. What about us? We got saved. Did we go back, tell our friends and tell our family what the Lord has done for us? Or do we still are we still silent about it? You know, I remember when I got saved, it was on a Thursday night. I went to work the next day, and even prior to going to work, you know, the neighbor said, "Hey, John, how's it going?" I said, "It's going great. I got saved last night." I didn't know what that all entailed, but I knew I got saved. And I went to work, and I started telling everybody there that I got born again. I started writing letters home to my family. I told my mom, and she thought I was involved in a cult. And she said, "Man, if they can just get you to behave, I'll be happy." But I told people. Now, here's something. You get a new car, you're willing to tell everybody about your new car, but you get a brand new life that Christ gave you, and we keep our mouths shut. That's not what happened in the Bible. They would bring their old friends and their old family, and they would witness to them. Now notice, in this story, where Zacchaeus came from. It says, "And Jesus, in verse 1, entered and passed through" what? "Jericho." Now, Jericho was a cursed city. Notice what it says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. Notice what it says here. Joshua 6 and verse 26. Here we read this, "And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the" what? "Gates of it." Now Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. There he is about to be crucified, so he's going through Jericho for the very last time. And he passes through Jericho. Now, Jesus has come down to the Jordan Valley, and he passes through this cursed city. And now he's about to go up and ascend into the city of Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 tells us, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside cry out to Jesus to be healed." And Mark 10:46 says, "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people," and it tells us that one of the two blind men who were healed of their healed and got their sight restored was a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. And in all this crowd, and in all this great excitement, there was at least one little man who wanted to be saved, but he could not get to Jesus because of the crowd. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus did not just take the gospel where men needed the gospel. He took it to everybody. And the more a sinful place is, this city was cursed, the more those people need the gospel. Then Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. Now, when you look up his name, you'll see his name means pure or righteous. That's what his name means. Now, here we have a picture of hypocrisy, or at least a guy that did not live up to his name. The Bible says he was a sinner. Everybody knew that. Now, think of this. Here he is, a tax collector. And as a tax collector, you know what? They were shady. They were well known for that. Matter of fact, that's how they made their money. The Jewish religious community in Jericho wouldn't have considered him righteous. He not only collected taxes from his own people, but he worked for unclean Gentiles, and those tax dollars or whatever shekels, they were given to Rome, and they were the oppressors. Here's the thing. Rome required so much money from each province, these tax collectors, had over the people. And you know what? Any extra income, they got to pocket. So if there was 10 shekels that one guy, one tax collector, was supposed to collect, but he got 20, he could keep the what? 20. Or 10. If he took all the 20, Rome would come after him. Just like the IRS comes after those who don't pay their fair share either, or more than their fair share, I should say. Now, Zacchaeus, in the eyes of the Jews, was a renegade. He was a traitor. But you know what? In the eyes of the Savior, he was a lost, precious soul that needed to be saved. Now, Zacchaeus was a publican. Now, he was, the whole nation of Israel was under rule of the Roman Empire. And the job one would do was one that people of Israel despised. You know, you read that phrase, publicans and sinners, often in the Bible, don't you? They kind of go together. And they were considered the lowest of the low. This is the kind of man Zacchaeus was. Now, did he live up to that name, pure and righteous? No! Now, Zacchaeus, notice this. Not only was he a publican, but notice in verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the what? Chief among the publicans. And he was what? Rich. How do you get that wealthy? Maybe bilking the people? In other words, when it says he was chief amongst the publicans, he was the big boss himself. He oversaw the publicans. He was more than just a regular publican. He was the big boss with the hot sauce. And he got his wealth from all those others as well. And he was rich. Now notice, he was a little man. Now, perhaps he, amongst the publicans, he was a big man. But you know what? He was little of stature. That means he was short. It goes on to say, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the what? Press, because he was what? Little of stature. Now, little of stature. That means he was short. Now think about this. He could not see for the press. Now, he wanted to see Jesus, did he not? But he could not because there was people in the way. Think of this. How many people do you know that stand in the way of Jesus? And I pray it's not any one of us. We need to understand our testimony is important. And you know, I've met a lot of people out there who will not become a Christian because of what other Christians are. I don't want to be that guy. You know, how many ever heard Mahatma Gandhi? Or Gandhi, was it Mahatma or whatever his name is. You know, but he was Prime Minister of India, wasn't he? You know, he came to America at one time, and he walked into a Baptist church. And he was so ill-treated, he walked out and said, I would never become a Christian because of Christians. Now just think if he was warmly received. And just think if that man trusted Christ as a Savior. He could have took that gospel back to India, and that whole country may have at least heard the gospel. But all because there were people standing in the way, and he couldn't see Jesus because of their faults. He wanted nothing to do with Christianity. That's a crying shame. I wonder how many people we've affected like that because of the manner in which we live. Maybe it's the words we speak or our attitudes that we have. Or maybe it's some ill manner that we have that we're not willing to correct. Maybe it's pride. We think we're better than everybody else. I'm telling you, we cannot afford to block people from Jesus. Then Zacchaeus was hated by the people. Can you imagine that? How many here have fallen in love with the IRS? Raise your hand. Nobody! And so here, but you know what? We're not paying taxes, let's say, to China, who's overruling our country. Thank God for that. But just think, if there was another country oppressing us and we had to pay taxes and some of our own people were collecting those taxes and giving it to that foreign government who are treating us like dirt, how much more would you love them? Probably wouldn't, would you? You despise them. Well, Zacchaeus was not very well liked in his community. Now, all the money he could get from them over and above which he was to pay to the Roman government, he got to pocket. Hence, he got all he could from the people. Perhaps he was the most hated man in the town. Everybody knew who he was. Yet there was somebody who happened to love him. And that's Jesus. You know, when you read this story, we need to understand we should not only love the unlovely, but we ought to go further than that and love the unloved. There ought not to be a person in our city who is unloved, and we ought to love them for Jesus' sake. Then Zacchaeus does show a little bit of character here. Notice in verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass, what? That way. Now he was going to see Jesus regardless of all the obstacles. Now, it's interesting to see the changes Zacchaeus experienced that day, all because Jesus was going through Jericho. He actually, this man, Zacchaeus, became a child. Now, in the East, it's unusual for men to run, especially a wealthy government official. Yet Zacchaeus ran down the street like a little boy trying to get a shot at the parade. And since he could not because of the press, he even climbed a tree. Now, he had some curiosity about him, didn't he? And you know what? Curiosity is a characteristic of what? Children. And some grown men. They like to get all the information they can about something or someone. That's on them. But they do. They love that. Now, at times, curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. Now, that was certainly true of Zacchaeus. Maybe he thought, you know, what's the big crowd all about today? You know, it ain't the Passover. You know, it ain't one of the feast days. Why the big crowd? And maybe he was just trying to get a little shot saying, hey, why is everybody marching down Main Street? You know, maybe he even went up into a house and went up a couple stairs and tried to look out a window, and he still couldn't see it because there was all kinds of people in the room. You know, back then there was, and you still see it today, there was flat roofs, and people would go up on the flat roofs to see things. Maybe you went up to a rooftop and said, man, you know what, I'm going to see what's going on. But you know, it was all packed with people as well. But he did find something to climb, did he not? He climbed a what? Sycamore tree. Now, I remember somebody had a church named in Iowa, Sycamore Baptist Church. And I lived in Iowa for 18 months. Well, longer than that, probably about 3-4 years. Thank God I got out of there. But I was like, there ain't no sycamore trees in Iowa. Why are they called sycamore tree, Sycamore Baptist Church? Well, I'm like, well, Zacchaeus. That's what it was named after. Amen. But so he climbs up a sycamore tree. You know what? Grown men don't do that unless they're cutting down parts of the limbs or something. They don't go up there. Now, do little children climb trees? Oh, yeah. Now, was it Zacchaeus' fault that he was short? No. Not at all. Now, he just couldn't see over the crowd. So he did what he could, overcoming that handicap of being short, put aside his dignity, climb up a tree, and in a spiritual sense, are we not all of little stature? Because all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God? Does any one of us here measure up to God's high standards? Aren't we all too little to enter into heaven? The tragedy is, though, there are many lost sinners that think they're too big. They measure themselves by man's standards, position, authority, or popularity, and they don't think they need the Savior. I'll never forget going out soul winning in Iowa, and this guy where I lived, we had the state prison right in town. That was the big employer. Many of the people that lived there, they lived there and moved there because their husband happened to be in that prison. And so I knock on this guy's door, introduce myself, and he says, what do you want? I said, well, I'd like to tell you how to go to heaven. He says, hey, you need to leave the good people out here in the community alone and go behind the prison walls and win those folks. They're the ones who need it, not us. Really? Isn't that bizarre? Doesn't everybody need the gospel? But you see, there's some people, they think they don't need it. They're too big for that. Well, Zacchaeus trusts Christ and he became a true son of Abraham, meaning, of course, that he was a child by faith. And by the way, when you become a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ, that's about as big as you're ever going to get. Zacchaeus had some character. So Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree. Now, I don't know about you, but don't you think maybe people in the crowd, they didn't like him to begin with. They thought, man, what's that maroon doing up there? Don't you think maybe little kids mocked him? Made fun of him? I think some in the crowd perhaps did. But he went up there. He was willing to be embarrassed in order to see Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but in all reality, Jesus was seeking him. Do we not read in verse 10 that Jesus came to what? Seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Who does the seeking? Jesus did. Now, while he was ministering on earth, he sought out the lost. Now, today it's the Holy Spirit's job, and he uses the Word of God, and he's still seeking sinners. Now, then notice, Jesus told Zacchaeus to hurry to him. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make what? Haste and come down, for today I must abide, what? At thy house. Now, you know, so many people don't realize that coming to Christ is an emergency. They make no haste to run to him. You know, how many times have you given the gospel or maybe handed out a tract and people say, oh, yeah, you know what, I'll think about that later on. Or you know what, not right now. They don't understand, you know what? Jesus could come at any moment. Their opportunity's over. You know, they don't understand that they could die. You know, all boom. You know, sometimes you hear somebody's death and you're shocked, aren't you? You know, it's not like they were 90 years old teetering with one, you know, on the graveside with one foot in the grave and the other on, you know, on a banana peel. And it was kind of expected. You know, they're not good, you know, 90 years old is a lot, isn't it? I'm already reaching what, going for 70. You know, God said if you reach 70, that's about the average age of mankind. I hope you understand that. Anything over that's a bonus. It is. That means, you know what? Think of this. That means when you're 35, half your life is over. Doesn't seem like a long time, does it? And then when you reach 70, it's like, okay, you know, any day, Lord. Right? You say, oh, preacher, that's kind of bleak. What? Is heaven that bleak to you? Shouldn't. But think about that. Now, and then, you know what? What happens if the Spirit of God stops speaking to them? They harden their heart like Pharaoh. And he's no longer going to deal with them about their sin and their need of the Savior. Then they're in deep kimchi, aren't they? But it is an emergency. You know, so many people say, I remember having a friend, I witnessed to him. And he told me, he says, you know what, John, he says, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And prior, before I'm dying, he says, I'll promise to call on Christ. And I said, you know what? The thief did that. But there was only one instance in the entire Word of God where that happened. And that doesn't guarantee you'll be able to do that. Now that's playing worse than Russian roulette, if you ask me. Hurry! Why aren't people hurrying to come to Christ? Then Zacchaeus invited Jesus into his house. Look at verse 7 here. And when they saw it, that's the crowd, they all murmured. They weren't happy, saying that he was gone to be a guest, speaking of Jesus, with a man that is a sinner, speaking of who? Zacchaeus. You say, what does this have to do with anything? I'll tell you. Should not Jesus be welcome in your home? Ask yourself the question, is he? Is he a welcome guest? Or is he unwanted? Are you living in a manner where you make him feel welcome? Or do you grieve him? What does your home say about you? What's on your walls? You got some scripture verses? Is your Bible out? Or do you got pictures of athletes and rock stars or whoever? What's the language used in your home? Is it one that pleases the Lord? Or does he hear unsavory words? Little profanity? Maybe a dirty joke being told? Here's one. what comes out of that one-eyed monster that you plug in? Is he pleased with what you're watching? How about that movie collection you got? How about those books that you read? Is he pleased with what's in your home? What about what's in your refrigerator? In your cabinets? Well, let's not take it too far, preacher. Yeah, I'll take it even further. What's the relationship like between you and your family? Is it strained? Is there a lack of love in the home? How about all those things? Zacchaeus invited Jesus into his home. He's a new convert. Some of us need to do a little cleaning. And I'm not talking spring cleaning, although it's a good time when you're going through your house, get rid of stuff that doesn't belong there. Then notice, Zacchaeus proved his salvation. Look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 19. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, how many think that he probably did, right? Remember, he's a new convert, right? Correct? If. Why would you bring that up if you never did it? Right? That's like saying, well, if I kill my mother-in-law, Lord, you know, who comes up with that stuff? Unless you did it. Goes on to say, where were they? And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him what? Fourfold. Now notice, he's returning fourfold anything that he took unlawfully by cheating people out of their money. That's what he's basically telling Jesus he's going to do. And you know what? I believe he did so. You know, when Jesus comes in, you know what? Honesty isn't just the best policy. It's the only policy. And you know what? You see Zacchaeus now being a changed man, is he not? His character is improved 100-fold. He says, you know what? What I've done wrong, I'm going to make right. You know, there's a thing in the Bible called restitution. You know, a lot of us, we get saved and we just want to push all that stuff in the back, don't we? Where we ripped somebody off and we don't want to make things right. How many think that's the Christian thing to do? It's not. You're supposed to make that right. If you rip somebody off of $100 when you got saved, you ought to make it, you know, you ought to make that right. You shouldn't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, God forgave me of that. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But what about the people you wronged? What about the people you did wrong? Maybe you didn't rip them off monetarily, but you know what? You mistreated them somehow. You know, I wonder how many parents, since none of us are perfect parents, but how many of us parents ever sat our children down and said, you know what, I'm sorry for the mistakes I made in rearing you. Right? How many think that might be a good idea? Sure. And you know what your perfect kids are going to say? That's okay. Because they never did any wrong either. But that's how some of us look at ourselves as parents. We failed our kids numerous times, each and every one of us. Why not let them know that you realize that and you're going to try to do everything to make it up to them? Hey, it may restore your relationship with them. It just might help. All right. But there is a lot in this story that we can take away from Zacchaeus, isn't there? All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.